here we are, it's the 4th of January 2009. We're in St Enoch's Square. It's a beautiful sunny but cold winter's day. It's very quiet, as you might expect at this time of year. The economic crisis as well. And hopefully there's no buskers, so moving into place now, I have a very solemn subject to preach on today. But by God's grace, it will be blessed to the conversion of sinners, and oh, how we long to see God come down in Glasgow, and men and women and children turning back to Him through Jesus Christ for salvation. So here we are. Well, good afternoon. It's a privilege to be here again to preach the gospel of God concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus being the only Saviour that there is, the only one who can deliver us from the wrath to come, the only one who can give us salvation. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, the Bible tells us. And therefore, unless we turn to Jesus Christ and unless we find Jesus Christ, we cannot know the salvation of God. No one else can deliver us from the wrath to come. No one else has paid the penalty for sin. Only Jesus Christ did that when He died on that cross of Calvary, when He loved sinners and laid down His life for sinners, so that we who are sinners by nature might obtain the mercy of God and find the salvation of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that life. He has saved us from our sins. But if we do not believe on Him, then we remain in our sins. We remain condemned. We remain on the very verge of the eternal torment and fires of hell. Our situation is perilous. Sooner or later, our feet will slip and we will find ourselves cast into that place of everlasting torment and fire because of our sins. And make no mistake, God is a righteous judge, and He says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's why we need Jesus Christ. We cannot be saved by our works. We have nothing that we can offer God, that we have nothing that is good enough for Him. We must have a sacrifice, and Jesus is our sacrifice. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And it's only when we come to God through Jesus Christ, it's only when we put our faith in Him, put our trust in Him, turn to Him, believe on Him, that we find that salvation which comes from God. Now, I've been preaching through the Ten Commandments here in the open air in Glasgow, and the reason is because I meet many people who say that they hope to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. And yet they don't even know what the commandments are. Even this week I was speaking to someone who said, oh, the Ten Commandments are wonderful. I think they're wonderful. And yet that same person said that there was no problem with worshipping idols, with worshipping nature. But the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. That's the second commandment. So idolatry, so the worship of nature, so the worship of creation is condemned in the Bible as idolatry. And idolatry is seen to be madness, is seen to be foolish beyond measure. There is one God who made the heavens and the earth and did so for His own glory. He made them out of nothing. He made them for His own glory. And this eternal God is the God before whom one day we must stand and to whom we must give an account. And we cannot stand before Him because of our sins. And we cannot give an account to God that is acceptable because we have broken His commandments. And the commandments of Almighty God only show us that we could never be saved by our own works. We have no strength, we have no power, we have nothing in us that could please God. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And that means that we are all justly condemned by Almighty God on account of our sin. That's why we need a Saviour. That's why we need Jesus Christ, because without Him our sins cannot be forgiven. God's way of salvation is not by works, works, that's not possible. His way of salvation is through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, by grace alone, according to the Bible alone, my friends. It is Jesus Christ alone who is the Savior of the world, who died on the cross in the place of sinners, who died so that we, if only we would turn from our sin and believe on Him, would find salvation, would find everlasting life. Now, we cannot be saved by keeping the commandments of God. I'm going to preach today on the sixth commandment, which is, "Thou shalt not kill." People, of course, have heard this, and so I believe murder is wrong. Yes, indeed, murder is wrong. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." But the commandments of God are exceedingly broad, the Bible tells us. Each of these commandments encompasses a very great body of truth. "And thou shalt not kill" searches us out. It searches every area of our hearts, of our lives. You say, "I've never killed anybody," but my dear friends, have you ever hated anybody? Because if we hate somebody in our hearts, we are guilty of murder in our hearts. Oh, we say, "Oh, but they're worthy of it. You know, they did such and such to me." Even so, if we hate somebody in our hearts, God looks to the heart. He sees the heart. He knows what we are like in the very core, in the very center of our soul. And He tells us that if we hate somebody, we are murderous in our hearts. And you say, "How could I love such and such a person who did such and such a person to me?" Well, Jesus said that we are to love our enemies. Interesting that Muhammad never said that, my friends. Jesus said that. No one's teaching was like the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that we were to love our enemies and do good to those who spitefully use us. But we can't do that because we're sinners, because we're lost, because we're damned, because we have broken God's commandments, because we are sinners by nature. You know, it's only when Jesus Christ comes and lives in our hearts and changes us by His power, by the power of His Holy Spirit, when He gives us those rivers of living water that He speaks of flowing out of our hearts, that we can begin to forgive those who have sinned against us. That we can begin to love our enemies, because we are powerless, because we are sinners. And yet, you know, God has loved His enemies. We are all God's enemies on account of sin. He says there is none righteous, no, not one. If I stood here and said that we naturally hate God, we do not naturally love God, some people would say, "Don't be ridiculous." But all sin is rebellion against God, and all sin ultimately is hatred towards God. All the false religions of the world are hatred towards God, because we make gods in our own image. We make gods who accept us as we are. But God hates sin, my friends. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He is that thrice holy God before whom the mighty created beings in modesty must veil their faces when they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And it is this God before whom we will stand. It is this God with whom we have to do. And we cannot stand before Him on account of our sin. We have hearts which are full of hatred, full of violence, full of iniquity. And God sees it. And He says that we'll be judged according to these things. He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And He has left us in no doubt that our hearts condemn us, that we are not right before Him, that we deserve death, that we deserve to go to hell. God has loved His enemies. God has loved sinners like you and me. And when He loved sinners, God was under no obligation to love any one of us. But we read that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the love of God, my friends. When Jesus came into this world, He didn't die for good men. He didn't die for the righteous. He didn't die for the just. There were none of those anyway. He died for sinners. He died for the unjust. He loved the ungodly. He loved sinners. sinners and rebels against God. He loved his enemies. He laid down his life on that cross and paid the penalty for sin. For us who are by nature at enmity, enemies of God, so that if only we would turn, and if only we would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is today raised from the dead and seated bodily at the right hand of God the Father in glory, we might obtain that everlasting life, we might find that life promised in the Word of God. People look for security in things. People look for security in money. They look for security in health. They look for security in all of these things. And all of these things are in danger of being taken away. And where will you look then? It's only the Christian who knows that when God says we're not to fear these things, that he has no need to fear any of these trials and tribulations in the world, whether it be war or famine or pestilence or whatever it may be, because he knows Jesus Christ, because he knows whom he has believed, he knows that his security is eternal in Jesus Christ, that nothing, that no one can ever take him or snatch him from the palm of God's hand, that he has obtained that mercy and obtained that salvation which comes through faith in God alone. Now if we turn to the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, and we say God's commandments are exceedingly broad, we say, oh, I haven't done that. But what about the rivers of innocent blood that have been shed in our land, in our hospitals every day? When we destroy, when we mercilessly murder, when we take to pieces the unborn child. We think nothing of the unborn child, that child made in God's image. God says in his word that we are duty bound to lift up our voices, to cry out on behalf of the dumb, to speak up for them. And yet we think nothing, this sanitized slaughter, this murder of children that takes place in our hospitals every day. They are human beings, just as you and I are human beings. They are made in the image of God, just as you and I are made in the image of God. And yet they are counted dross and refuse. They are aborted. They are cast into our hospital incinerators. And God calls this the shedding of innocent blood. Abortion is an abomination to Almighty God. And because we have shed much innocent blood throughout the length and breadth of our land, even here in Glasgow, in many hospitals here in Glasgow, many children have died, ruthlessly slaughtered, unloved by unmerciful society. God says, I believe that that blood cries to him from the ground. It cries to him for vengeance. It cries to him for justice. And we think we can live without God. We think we can carry on living our lives as we choose. That there would never be an accounting. That there would never be a day when we must stand before God. That he would never shake. That he would never destroy this land. Well, in Manasseh's day, Manasseh was a king of Judah. He shed much innocent blood throughout the length and the breadth of Judah and Jerusalem. And the Bible says, although Manasseh repented, the Lord would not pardon the shedding of that innocent blood. He sent a ruthless, merciless army into Judah. The Babylonians who carried those, who slaughtered most of the people and carried the rest away into captivity out of their nation. And if God did that with Judah in the Old Testament, what will he do with Scotland today? Because we have shed much innocent blood. Because we have taken the helpless. We've taken those who have no voice, who have no strength to cry out on their own behalf. And we have slaughtered them, and we have murdered them, and we have innocent blood on our hands. Make no mistake that God sees it. Make no mistake that it provokes the Holy One of Israel, the Eternal God, to exceedingly great wrath and anger that we would destroy the unborn child, that we would murder the fruit of our own bodies, that we would destroy our own children, and then think that we could think nothing of it. It is exceptionally sinful before Almighty God. And on that day, there will be those surgeons and those doctors who have had their hands dipped, drenched in innocent blood, who must give an account to God, and there will be no excuses on that day. No unwanted children. Oh, we didn't want them so we could carry on in our nightclubbing. We didn't want them so we could carry on in building up our own personal fortune or pursuing our careers or all of these things. And our children were considered worthless and we destroyed them. We even cast them alive, some of them, into our hospital incinerators to be burnt and to be destroyed. Because we thought nothing of killing the unborn child. The Bible tells us that God is made in man's image. And yet the God who holds our breath in his hands, him we have not honored. Woe to those who are involved in abortion. Woe to those who destroy the fruit of their womb. Woe to those who murder the unborn child. The word of God is against you. God is against you in his book, in the Bible. And he will bring you to judgment, and he will cast you into everlasting torment and hell fire, unless you repent. His word says, thou shalt not kill. In other words, thou shalt not murder. And even if all the politicians of our land and all the rulers of our day come together and seek to overthrow the laws of God and pass laws saying that children who are handicapped can be destroyed, and want to pass laws saying eventually that old people who are no longer loved or wanted in their eyes could be destroyed, that's where it's all going, my friends. Society is going that way. We are becoming ruthless, heartless, merciless, murderous society because we have forgotten God, because we have cast off the knowledge of God, because we have forsaken his commandments. And in so doing, we have forsaken our own mercies. And we need to turn again and return to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to kill somebody unlawfully, whether it be murder, even in Glasgow here, every week, every day sometimes, we read of some young person who has lost their life in knife crime and told there are more murders in Glasgow here than there are in New York. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And all that innocent blood cries to God from the ground. What does it say about us as a society? We entertain ourselves by watching people go to gruesome deaths in Hollywood movies. More and more bloodthirsty they become. More and more gruesome, more and more grisly. And those Hollywood movies are creating a bloodlust in our society. And that bloodlust is being satisfied in various ways, but one way in which it is being satisfied is in all these terrible murders that take place in Glasgow, repeatedly ongoing. And that blood cries to God from the ground. His word says that whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. In other words, God commands capital punishment, the death penalty for murderers. But we become soft, we become humanists, and we believe that we know better than God. And one day, my friends, God will arise and overthrow this city and overthrow this land simply because we have forsaken his word and we have forsaken our own mercies. We have rejected the word of God. We may have mocked or scoffed or even laughed at his commandments. But there is a wrath to come, and there is a judgment to come, and there is a day of reckoning to come. Thou shalt not kill, the Bible says. Thou shalt not murder. And then we have all these unjust wars that our politicians have involved us in. I do not blame the troops, but our troops are nevertheless under obligation before God to behave uprightly, not to commit atrocities, rapes and murders and so on. And yet, how awful for our land when we actually get the numbers, the figures of those millions of people who have died in Iraq, for example, most of them innocent civilians. And no one seems to care. And no one seems burdened, but God holds us accountable as a nation. And all that innocent blood cries out to God, how long, O Lord? And God's wrath will surely come unless we turn, and unless we believe, and unless we cast ourselves on Jesus Christ. And God requires repentance. He requires that we acknowledge our sins. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the riches of His goodness. Oh, the greatness of His grace and of His mercy. In Isaiah 1, we read these astonishing words. Well, in Romans 3, we read, their hands are swift to shed innocent blood. We know that. We know that in this society, men's hands are very swift to shed innocent blood. But the amazing thing in Isaiah 1 in the Bible, we read, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Are our sins as scarlet? Are they as the shedding of rivers of blood, innocent blood? Indeed they are. The blood of those 200,000 children a year slaughtered in our hospitals cries out to Almighty God. The blood of those civilians in Iraq cries out to God. The blood of those innocents who were murdered here in Glasgow cries out to God. We are a blood-guilty, blood-saturated generation, and we need to obtain mercy, and we can only find mercy in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who laid down His life for sinners, who loved sinners and gave Himself for sinners, who died on the cross of Calvary. You know, Jesus' death was the greatest travesty of justice of all. He alone had never sinned. He alone had no sin nature. He did not have to die. He did not have to go to that cross. He chose to go to that cross. He freely went to that cross. He freely stretched out His arms so that they should be nailed to that cross. He willingly gave Himself to die on that cross. And He was mocked, and He was scorned, and He was spat on. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to that cross in mercy and love. And His innocent blood flowed down. His blood was shed. And His body was broken so that we, if only we will turn, if only we will believe, if only we will cast ourselves on Jesus Christ, would obtain salvation and mercy and everlasting life. And you know, even the murderer, even the shedder of innocent blood, even if I was a surgeon who had killed thousands of unborn children, ruthlessly, mercilessly, heartlessly, persuading myself that my work was necessary for society. Even if I was like that, if only I would turn, Jesus would forgive me. God the Father would forgive me and cleanse me from my sin. You see, we say, oh, you're saying that somebody like Hitler, a mass murderer, could be saved. But what about us? What about the murder in our hearts? There's no record that Hitler ever turned from his sin. There's no record that that brute beast ever turned and believed on the Lord Jesus. But what about us? We need mercy. What about our murders? What about the shedding of innocent blood that takes place in our hospitals, for which we are all responsible as a nation? We need to turn. We need to turn to Jesus Christ. We need to turn to the only Savior that there is. We need to turn to the only one that can deliver us. There is a wrath to come. There is a judgment to come. And on that day, God will say, why did you not? Why did you do that abortion? Why did you have that abortion? See, feminists want to say the only reason women feel guilty about abortion is because of Christians like me. We're the ones that cause all the trouble, but it's not true. We all have a conscience. Every woman knows that what's in her womb is a human being, her own child, her own baby. You don't need somebody like me to tell you that. You know in your heart, you know. And people's lives are ruined by guilt. But I'm here to say there's a remedy to guilt. There's a way of salvation. There's a way of mercy. There's a way of forgiveness. There's a way of deliverance for our guilt. You won't find that in the January sales. You won't find that when you get home and you take your bargains, whatever they may be, out and you look at them. They'll satisfy you for a short season, and then you'll be as empty as ever before. It is Jesus Christ who gives us rivers of living water. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is faith in Him, in His death on the cross, that cleanses us from all our sin and makes us clean and makes us whole. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though you be a shedder of much innocent blood, even though you may have destroyed the fruit of your own womb, God will have mercy on you. He will forgive you. He will give you peace. He will cleanse you in the blood of Jesus Christ and make you clean and fit you for heaven and give you everlasting life. Oh, turn from your evil ways. Turn from your sin, because there is a wrath to come. And there is a judgment to come. There is a place called hell. There is a place of damnation and torment, eternal, inescapable torment. And only Jesus Christ can deliver us from the wrath to come. And only Jesus Christ, by His death and by faith in Him, in His death, can we find life and forgiveness. And if we do not know Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our sin abides, it remains on us. We are already damned. We are already condemned. And we cannot escape the fires and torments of hell for eternity unless we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, turn from your sin. Why should you die, the Bible says? Why should you die in your sins? Forget your bargains, forget your shopping, forget everything until you find Him, until you lay hold on Him, until you know Him as your Savior, until you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of your undying soul. There's a wrath to come, but there's also a glory to come for those who know Him. The only way of salvation is by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, through His blood, through His death, through His cross. And oh, my friends, if you do not find Jesus Christ, you will not find life. You will not find deliverance from the wrath to come. You will not be delivered from the sin of shedding innocent blood. And oh, my friends, when God arises and when He judges Glasgow and His judgments come on Scotland, in whatever way He chooses, when He chooses, you will not know where to flee in that day, because you do not know Jesus Christ. Oh, turn from your sin. Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, turn from your sin and believe on Jesus Christ, that you might have life. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. No, you can preach like that, but people just seem so indifferent. The only thing that seems to matter to them is their shopping. How could they be so hard? How could they be so cold? How could they be so reckless with their souls? But we still pray that by God's grace the word will go to their hearts and the Holy Spirit will convict, and that men return and believe on the Lord Jesus for the salvation of their souls. Amen.